Plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.
Yeah, big old catch up, the last one until Tuesday. Have a great Easter long weekend. Kevin Walters gives you a footy preview.
We also talked, Rich Uncle Mal gave us our superb suburb, and we had a little hat tip to the Easter long weekend.
All I had to offer the show was make sure you get on the road soon after 9 a.m, and it's already past that if you listen to this podcast. And, geez, if you listen on Friday, I haven't been to the bottle shop. Stiff shit.
There it is. We put the ball tampering saga to bed as well. Have a great Easter long
weekend.
Hold on.
Remember Moon had that great joke too?
Yeah. If it's Easter, I hope that you have a massive resurrection.
Yeah. There it is again.
And Marto still laughed. See ya.
See you, mate.
Get world-renowned Toyota reliability. Forklifts you can trust. Get the Toyota Forklift Advantage at toyotamaterialhandling.com.au. The Big Breakfasts. Sports all in.
Now, let's not kid ourselves. Easter weekend, especially, it won't be a very good Friday if you forget to get your supplies. Now, I'm talking about if you're having a barbie. All right, bottle shops aren't open tomorrow. That's where I wanted to go.
And you want to make an emergency services announcement, don't you?
Boop, boop. We're not allowed to use sirens.
We're crossing Tomato now with the latest. What is it, Greg?
BWSs will be closed for 24 hours from this evening. Get into it. This is Sports All In, but junior soccer not on this weekend,
right? No, thank goodness.
Junior rugby's not on.
It's probably the only time it's not.
Mm. No, well, that's great because it allows everyone to spend the time with their families. So junior rugby, I don't think junior AFL. But the big news is the big boys will be playing, the professionals will be playing Saturday evening at the Gabba. The Lions play the Demons, which will be they're in with a big shot this year, the Lions. They looked all right last weekend.
Well, they've certainly improved, and the Demons went down last week when they should have actually won on the last kick of the game, so they'll be wanting blood.
And the Roar Saturday afternoon against the Coast of Mariners. The last couple of weeks, they're on the verge of making the semis if they can win these last couple, and there's a big one, isn't it? A great mate of yours is playing he's making an appearance before the crowd. He's been one of the local favourites forever, Michael Theo.
Yeah, the wonderful Theo. It's his kind of farewell to Theo match. Mm. So make sure you go and say good on your buddy.
That's a beauty. Hey, Brenda, have we got a VIP?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the last ones of the year as well. We'll take you on a tour of Suncorp Stadium. You get to be in a VIP booth and watch the game. It's always a lot of fun, Marto. We'll do that just before 9.
Right, Reds aren't playing. They've got the bye after they came home from South Africa and Argentina. So that leaves rugby league to talk about.
Kevin Walters joins us to do that. Morning, Kevy.
Hey, good morning. How are we going on this Easter Thursday, isn't it? Of course.
It is Easter Thursday, Kevy.
Hey, mate, before we talk the Bronx, tonight's game, we've got a big Penrith fan in here in Brendo. Are they any chance with Tyrone Peachy at 5'8"? They look like they're clowns.
Brendo should be choking on his breakfast this morning, seriously. Now, look, I do give him a chance. The Cowboys not in great touch, as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, but I think they might have too much tonight for the Panthers. I'm actually calling that game for Fox. I'm looking forward to getting up to the north of Queensland. Although it's been a bit wet up there, hasn't it, recently? So we might, we'll see how the ground should shape up all right. I'm expecting the Cowboys to win tonight, but the Panthers in there with a good strike I think they've got some good things happening for them, the Panthers.
First time I tipped against them in 2 years there, Kevin.
Oh.
So, yeah, I know.
You cannot tip against your own side. Kevy, I've probably bored you with this story before, but I'm a Raiders supporter because of the Walters family, having met your brother Steve in the Queanbeyan Hotel back in 1987.
What an unfortunate experience that would have been for you.
It was. But then I met his little brother Kevin, and things were looking up. Have we got a chance this weekend against the Sea Eagles?
Oh, definitely. I think so. I caught up with Ricky Stewart last week after the game in Canberra, and he was bitterly disappointed, obviously, but he knows that they're not far away from a win. I think they can win for sure, but they're going to need to tighten up their defence a bit. That's one thing that they should be trying to work a bit harder on.
All right, Kevy, Easter Sunday, you got the clash against the Gold Coast Titans. What have you blokes been working on? Because it might be, you know, it looks like an easy-ish game for you.
No, they never are, Marto. You know, the derbies are always very tough, regardless of where the two teams sit on the table. I mean, Brisbane have come into these games in a bit of poor form, but have, you know, come up trumps, and likewise for the Titans. So, you know, I think most importantly, Brisbane got to try and continue what they've been doing. They've been improving since round one, and that's the key for Brisbane. And I guess at the end of the day, you just want to get a win over Easter, get the chockies and move on to the next week. But it'll be a tough one because the Titans, particularly when you come off a thumping like that, it really does reset your mindset. You know, they've been topping a fair bit in the papers, as happened to Brisbane after round one when they got a shellacking from the Dragons. They fought back nicely against the Cowboys the following week. So I'm expecting a big turnaround from the Titans. They've got some really good players, young and gold in their side. I think they've bought well in the off-season. They've just got to try and gel that together.
Put it together.
Bash Taylor comes with his kicking game and he's smart. That'll put the Brisbane defence under a lot of pressure.
But can you just do me a favour, Kevy? If you just happen to be beating them like 54-0, like they've lost in the past, can you just give them one so they feel better?
I don't think that'll be happening on Sunday. I mean, the Titans, you know, they'll be very gritty on Sunday. We're expecting a really tough game from them, and hopefully at the end of 80, as I say, Brisbane are in front.
Can you guarantee that none of your players will be carrying sandpaper onto the field?
Yeah, look, can I just make a comment on that one? I think we're going over the top with all this stuff. Really? I mean, Marta, you're a real cricket, and Moonman, you love the cricket as well. Everybody loves the cricket, but for what they did, is the punishment, I wouldn't have thought so. Like, you know, we see this ball tampering all the time. Marta, I've seen you do it in grade cricket. I've seen you rub it in the gutter, rub it on the fence, anything you can to get a bit of swing. And, like, I just think we're really being over the top punishment-wise on these two guys, or three of them.
I think so. The media went crazy, mate.
We look at ourselves in the mirror. I think we've done a lot worse than what these boys have done. And, you know, we don't get sanctioned. So, you know, I think it's funny, terrible what we're doing to them.
All right, Kevin Walters will talk again soon.
Well, our PM, Rich Uncle Mal, there's been rumours that he's aloof and he's a wealthy man and he's not a man of the people, but he's trying to put that to bed and he wants to drop in once a week and have a look at a suburb, zone in on a suburb of Brisbane. Last week he did Paddo, and this week he's doing a very popular suburb of Brisbane.
Hello, this is the Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull speaking, and this week's superb suburb is North Stradbroke Island. North Stradbroke Island is a natural barrier between Moreton Bay and the Coral Sea. North Stradbroke, also known as Straddy by the locals, was once attached to South Stradbroke Island. It was one island until 1896, when a storm, and some conspiracy theorists believe a ship laden with explosives, separated the island into North and South. It's a bit like the Coalition, the Liberals and the National Party. Two islands and never the twain shall meet. I'm doing political gear, Lucy. The stretch of water separating the islands is called the Pin, a dangerous stretch of water that often wreaks havoc on amateur anglers and sailors. I've got a yacht. It's a big one and a beauty. Straddy is home to the Quandamooka people, the traditional landowners, and of course, this Easter long weekend, Straddy is also the long weekend holidaymakers' traditional home. Enjoying their working class distractions such as surfing, swimming and fishing. How vile. Putting bait on a hook. And also drinking beer and rum. So to all of you enjoying the Easter long weekend on Straddy, good on you. That's this week's superb suburb. Bye now.
CSI Model.
Okie dokie. Sandpaper Gate has stopped us from doing so many stories this week that we wanted to touch, and I've wanted to talk about this all week. You know, I think it happened 2 days ago. That python, it was a big carpet snake, about 10 foot long. It swallowed a slipper. All right, obviously thought it was a possum. I don't know the full story.
What would it do? Was it the smell that would make it go, ooh, that smells like a possum?
They always reckon they're not real good with the smell, but they feel and they go, ooh, that feels like something. Because that's why they're always, some of them are swallowing tennis balls because they think it's a furry animal.
So yeah, this python actually thought it was a small dog because it was a hush puppy.
Boom, tish.
Oh, no. Working with a comedian, I forgot. All right, so it sizes them up. They lie next to them quite often. That's what they do with dogs.
Right.
Did it with our dog one day. They line up, make sure, yep, that'll fit, and then they get going with the curly thing. This is my knowledge of snakes. But I want to know how the hell, because the vet, how and why, there's a vet who actually did an operation or squeezed it out. I don't know what happened. Do you squeeze the thing out? He got the slipper out of the snake.
Like re-threading your pyjama cord when you pull it through and you push it, you go, oh, here it comes, yes!
But you can put a safety pin to the cord to get it through the pyjamas. I don't think you can do that with a snake. Anyway.
How did he do it? How did this bloke do it?
Okay, I've got him on the line. His name is Dr. Josh Linus. He's from Green Cross Vets. I think I know Dr. Josh. Good morning.
Good morning, Robin. How are you?
Yes, I do know Dr. Josh. You did the operation. First of all, why? And secondly, how?
Oh, why? Well, to save its life, really. We did need to get that one out. It was going to cause probably a big problem if we didn't. So getting it out was not that difficult. Just like any surgery that we do, we prepare them for surgery. We go in, we find out what's going on inside, and then we try to get it out as safely as possible. And in this case, it came out quite nicely.
Doc, did you know it was a slipper? Is that why you were rung? Because someone said, oh, I can't find my other slipper, and then they looked at the snake.
That one.
Yeah, in this case it was. They found the snake in a gentleman's house having eaten the slipper already, and they knew it was a slipper. You could feel it. You could almost see it from the outside. We took an x-ray just to show what it was, and it was definitely a slipper.
Now, poor Snakey, was he distressed? Was he unhappy?
No, it wasn't too bad. I mean, these snakes can eat prey that are quite large. This was actually not that big in comparison to some of the things that we can find inside of a snake this big.
Josh, why do we need to get the slipper out? Hasn't he got incredible acid, the snake, and it would have just dissolved it? Or did the guy want that slipper back?
No, he actually didn't want it back. He said no. He actually gave the other slipper to the snake catchers who brought it into us. It is a non-digestible item, so some of it might have digested over time. But if it didn't come out, it would have stayed in there, probably caused snake to starve to death eventually.
Okay, so there are two things I'm getting from this story. One is it wasn't a pet snake; it was just a snake that had come into the house. Is that right? Oh.
That's right. It was a wild one, and not an uncommon occurrence to have them eat objects. They do smell what's on there. They do kind of explore with their mouths, but it is a in this case, probably have a smell that made them a little bit attracted to it. I had a tennis ball the other day I removed, and it had been a dog's toy. So probably the smell is the most important part of it, but sometimes they just get into things they shouldn't.
And it's like a cesarean, wasn't it? You, like, slit it open.
Oh.
Yeah, it was. It was, I guess with snakes, they've got their anatomy is kind of cool. It goes down in a line, and so it's linear anatomy instead of all bunched up like ours. So you kind of can look at each portion of the snake, and you know what part you're looking at. So about halfway down the body is the stomach, which is where this was. So we know we're going into the stomach, and then... It is. You just go in and bring the stomach out and then take whatever's inside the stomach out.
Oh, that's cool. And so how long recovery time for a little snakey? Is he back in the wild?
It's about 8 weeks because they heal fairly slowly in their skin, so we'll have to wait till that's healed before we can release and we can take all the stitches out at that point. Otherwise, it could cause a bit of a problem with him.
I'd regard this as relatively unusual. Maybe you don't, but do you get other strange surgeries, like people putting in other animals with strange things, not just standard operations?
Oh, all sorts. Cats, dogs, snakes, turtles, pet dragons. We see a lot of things. Animals, they use their senses, and we use our hands to pick things up and have a look, and they often use their mouths to explore. So, yeah, just be cautious with them to make sure that they don't have anything around that they could accidentally eat.
Dr. Josh, I know you're a vet, but it's okay to say animals are stupid and they eat all sorts of crazy things.
Oh, first thing I did think sometimes is like, sometimes these things do very, very silly things.
All right, Dr. Josh Linus doing God's work, taking slippers out of snakes. Green Cross Vet is where you can find him. Good on you, Doctor.
Thanks for having me.
It is an unusual pet procedure. I wonder if we can find some more on 133353.
Oh, come on. Has someone ever had a goldfish operated on?
Oh, a friend of mine.
What would you operate? What would that be wrong with a goldfish?
A friend of mine,
his dog ate pool balls off the table. So not happy with one. It's like, that's good. I'm going back for another one.
Wow.
If your pet has had something bizarre wrong with it, we want to know about it. What happened at the end of it?
Scott from Chermside. What happened to your dog?
It was a mate I used to live with. His dog ate a possum and couldn't pass the skull.
No!
The skull got to the end, so I had to have it surgically removed.
Possum skull stuck in your large bowel.
That is harsh. How did they know that that's what it... I don't know. Don't ask that question. Okay.
Oh, you can see those little eyes just staring out of the darkness.
How much? Hey, Scott, I better ask how much. Was that a 2000 job?
No, I can't remember. It was probably 15, 20 years ago. I can't even remember the dog's name, but I vividly remember this. That happened, and it'll stay with me for the rest of my life.
And the dog survived? I just probably need to ask that.
Yes.
Okay, good. Great. Yeah, thanks.
Nice.
Once I pooed out the possum head, it was all good.
We asked the question. We should have expected these.
It's a good day once you pass your possum head. It's just like, I feel so much better.
So much better today. Sue with Shayla Park Oh, hi. What happened with your canary?
Oh, well, you know the little ring at on their ankle, for want of a better word, you know, one of those little collector canaries? Well, it got all infected, so he had to have his foot amputated.
He was
a one-legged canary, and we had to be careful that he didn't fall off the perch.
I bet he cramp up and just collapse.
Yeah, poor old fella. Yeah.
What is the life cycle of a canary? Like, do they live a long time so that you would...
Oh, they do. We had one that lived about 15 years. I mean, then others, you know, they go pretty quick. But, yeah, this one had the, nine lives of a cat.
Yeah, we had a budgerigar, Speckles, that lived till 16.
What sort of joy do birds give you as a pet?
You get them out of the cage, you let them fly around, and then you lock them up again.
Okay.
Josh of Bracken Ridge, you've also had some bird issues. What went down?
Yeah, I was going to do some renovations at home, and one of the chooks got in and around some old stair stringers, and the next door dog must have spooked the chook. And it's gotten caught in the stair stringer and broke its leg. So I took the chook to the vet to get fixed and repaired. And $500 later, she's all good and she's running around perfect. 3 weeks after that, my wife says, "Let's rescue a Rottweiler." Guess what happened to the chook?
Oh dear.
KFC.
Yeah. That was fun for me.
I'm very impressed you went and got a chook operated on. That's
so
very
my wife.
Yeah.
Very noble of you.
Did they give the chook, is there a moon boot that fits into a chicken leg?
Yes. Oh, there is. Yes, they do. And when my Rottweiler ate the ass out of the chook, I just looked at it and went, okay, there goes $500. I'm never doing that again.
Oh. Fair enough. No. Thanks,
Rottweiler.
Josh.
Thank you, guys.
I've got one more, Josh. Sorry to hold you up.
Yep.
Do you find the Rottweiler hangs around a lot when you bring home chicken? You know, frozen fried chicken?
She's at the fence every single day, trying her hardest to get through, and that's why I took down the chicken wire fence and put up a pool fence instead.
Fair enough. Save those
chicks. And she still gets through. Yeah.
Hey, memories. 6:49, Brisbane. Memories. It is the big breakfast. Brisbane's 104.5, Triple M, the big breakfast. Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. Shower's about today. Top of 27, Maroons coach Kevin Walters. He's got your Broncos tickets after 7. Entertainment reporter Bobby Shriekman calling through in 10 minutes. Marto?
All right, panellists, you ready? Moon and Robin. If this happened, I'd like you to tell me, what would you do? All right, this Canadian teenager, she turned 18. All right, so we've all got 18-year-olds, the three of us.
Yes, we have.
She's gone down to the local convenience store. Now, over in Canada, you can buy alcohol, so she went down there to get a bottle of sparkling wine.
Okay? Good on her.
No, that's not the decision to be made. She also bought...
You're on the big breakfast.
Don't forget bottle shops are closed tomorrow. Yeah,
thank you.
Just if you need reminding.
Righto, Marto.
Okay. So she also, on the way out, bought a scratchy ticket. You know how we have Set for Life? You know, the scratchy...
Yes.
They have that in Canada as well. She scratched it and she got the Set for Life. So that meant...
Nice.
And here's the decision. I want you to see what you would have done. She had a decision for $1 million straight away... 18 years of age, that day, it's her birthday. She's got the bottle of sparkling wine in one hand. She's got $1 million potentially. Or you can go $1,000 a week for the rest of your life.
Oh, now, easy. She's got a long life in front of her. But to get $1 million, she's got to live for...
Apparently the million over in Canada, they tax it.
Oh,
so she spoke to her dad, who spoke to the accountant and said, no. She ended up going the $1,000 a week.
That means she's got to live for 20 years.
That hard at 18. You'd be really peed off, though, if you got run over by a bus, wouldn't you?
Just coming out of there with you. got blind on your sparkling wine and
got
fell under the $3.82.
You got $7.80.
Oh, that's bad luck, eh?
Imagine if someone from the scratchy place were the ones who ran her over, trying to save themselves money.
I'd take the million.
Would you?
Yeah, I don't know whether I got 20.
Oh, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't make it to 20.
Can you leave it to someone? It's not transferable, is it?
No, the lovers wouldn't do that. I wouldn't, because it would, mentally in your head, you'd go, I don't need to work, I don't need to do anything, I've got $1 million. Whereas if you took $1,000 a week, you'd still go, I have to get a job, and that money could just accumulate quietly on the sideline, then you'd be
I'll tell you the sort of person she is. Her aim in life, okay, so she took the $1,000 a week for the rest of her life. Her aim in life is to become a photographer for National Geographic.
sorry, that job's over.
Yes, exactly. Everyone's a photographer now. Yeah.
Plus, you can just Google images, African women, and there's heaps of photos.
They're the wrong photos, though.
No, no, they're not. Don't judge my photos.
Now, for long-term listeners of this show, you will know that I love poking the bear, particularly the big bear that's called Mardo.
What? Mardo.
And because I love poking you, because then you poke back. Now, Australia Day weekend, I was coming back from Noosa and I got caught in really, really bad traffic. So, do you remember?
Yeah, you clown. What time did you come
home? Okay, there we go. All right. For those who don't remember, this is kind of what he said.
What time did you come home from the Sunshine Coast?
Okay, I've been copping this all morning. Of course, I thought about it, but.
Did you really?
Yes.
You'd never do it if you did think about it.
No, I did think about it.
What time did you come home?
10:30.
What time does everyone check out of every piece of accommodation?
Oh,
10 a.m.
11.
Yeah. Okay, I get it, but
you've got to be coming home at 9. You can't be whinging
like
on text
that
message
all
about
day.
It. No,
all
it
day.
It's not at 9:30 in the morning. It's not. You can't go up to the Sunshine Coast and expect to have a clear run after 9:30.
Are you really going to do early bird?
Thank you.
The first thing on a Sunday morning after a long weekend.
Well, don't complain.
And so on and so forth. That went for about 6 minutes.
Yes, it did. So, to stop this from happening again and to all bend down to the oracle that is Mardo when it comes to traffic, I am heading back up to Noosa. I got an amazing deal on Airbnb, and so I'm taking the boys up to a unit in Noosa.
Oh, you've developed a recent love of Noosa. Good on you.
Well, it's just a nice place to go. My girlfriend's got a house up there, and we go and hang out, and it's just lovely. Anyway, so, Mardo, when should I be leaving?
Good question.
When should you be thank you for asking before I call you a knob.
Come on, cruise director, what time do we get on board?
All right, well, you think about it. This morning, what did you see on the road this morning? And we've already discussed this off air. There were utes.
There were utes, mainly,
with kayaks on top,
and
with
boats,
jet skis and tinnies on the back. See, all these people, they're ready to go, Robin. They are prepared to go as soon as they'll put in a few cursory hours. Like, there'll be blokes listening right now are just about to go, oh, that'll just about wrap it up. That'll do. I've done 3 or 4 hours. Everyone will get paid or whatever's got to happen. They're starting to think about hopping in their utes right now and going bang to the coast, bang to dams out at Moogra or wherever they're headed to. Mate, straight after 9 o'clock, I would be getting in there. If you leave it until 12, you're stuffed.
So the sweet spot, you reckon, is between 10 and 12. 9 and 12.
10 and 12. Let's say 10 and 12. Historically,
so after
this
12,
is the busiest.
It's rubbish.
Well, you think about Christmas. Everyone has a big zone of days, like a week, you know, to get out of town, whereas today is the day. A lot of people will knock off, so many companies and people will knock off at midday today and just go zoom. And especially up the coast, because I reckon this Easter, not so many people will be going down the coast because the Commonwealth Games is making them fearful.
And they've been advertising saying that Sunny Coast to Com over these holidays is really super cheap. And I did an amazing deal on Airbnb. So, okay, help everyone that is trying to get away. When are you leaving?
What's your plan?
Actually, what are your plans?
You need help. I hope you're semi-packed and get away from here at 9 and get on the road by 10, because I reckon if you go by 12, it's the busiest road day of the year.
Okay, Robin, anytime after 12, put on your big shoes and start juggling, because you are a clown.
Looking for your Brisbane escape plan. Where are you going? How are you getting there?
No.
When are you leaving?
When are you leaving?
I bet you there's some people heading west. Like, there'll be a lot of dam action this weekend.
RJ of Crestmead, what do you reckon?
Robin, you've got to be out of there early. Traffic normally 1:30 is chaos going up north. And you've got to remember today is going to be like a normal Friday, which is 10 times worse. So you need to get out of here as quick as possible to get up there. And may I say to everyone, have a safe and happy Easter at Triple M.
Thanks, RJ.
Gee, he sounded like you, Mardo.
That was unsolicited.
Did you leave the building and
shut up. No, but that's because it's true. He said, what did he say, 1 o'clock?
1:30.
You're toast, 1:30.
I wouldn't have believed it was RJ if I hadn't been sitting right next to you, mate.
I won't be wishing anyone a happy Easter.
Anna, you're in the traffic now. What do you reckon?
Leave now, Robin. That is my advice.
Why? Where are you?
I'm just going past the Edamoga Hotel, and I'm surrounded by utes, caravans, camper trailers, jet skis. You name it, it's on the road this morning heading north.
They're already there.
They're already here, Mardo.
Oh, jeez.
So, Anna, what
it
what
might be too late. Robin, go now.
Okay, I'll go. How fast are you going, Anna? What's your...
Top speed's about 30.
Oh no!
Oh no! Go! Anna, where are you headed to, Anna?
I'm actually going to work for a couple of hours, so I actually can leave to go on holidays too. So
isn't that depressing? Oh. Looking at all those camping vans and fishing rods and surfboards and everything else, and you got to go to work.
That's okay. My husband's at home getting everything sorted didn't get up last night. So, yeah. And hey, look, rain, hail or shine, we'll be camping. Mardo, I won't be packing up if it rains.
Good girl, Anna. Have you been listening to the show for a while this morning, Anna?
I listen probably from about 5:30 onwards and listen, hop in the car and listen on the way to work.
Have you got the message loud and clear? The BWSs aren't going to be open tomorrow. Be careful.
Already been there, done that.
Oh, good girl.
Yeah, the world's not going to end, Marto, honestly. Armageddon is not coming.
Oh, sorry, Robin. 11:30 tomorrow morning. Jeez, I'd love a beer. Oh, what do you mean?
What I love about Anna and a lot of other people, and you suggested blokes who went to work this morning, going to work, not working, just going to be seen. Then just, all right, see you later, guys. Happy Easter.
See you guys.
Okay, guys, I have a bit of a moral dilemma, which I've sort of worked out, but I'm very curious to ask you about. As you know, I have three teenage sons. They're aged 14, 16 and 18. And you boys both have 18-year-olds. Marto, a son, and Moon, you've got an 18-year-old daughter. Have you ever, in your time with your children, intervened with their homework?
Yes.
Have you?
I've written quality homework for Lily, and then she's copied that homework and presented it as her own.
How'd it go?
I expected better.
Were you one of those parents who looks and goes, this teacher doesn't know what they're doing?
No. Lil was dealing with concepts she had trouble understanding. It was for psychology, and so I weighed in and I helped her. We sat down and discussed it, but I gave her some key phrases, because she was going to not only present a paper, but present orally. So I'm just surprised, Robin, that you're actually coming to us for moral guidance. You're a moral person.
Yeah, asking you to.
So you're coming to us for immoral guidance?
Tell me
the story.
Okay, let me tell you what happened, because I am the parent that has never intervened with homework, certainly when one of the kids...
I love that. I love that, you have never got involved, because you know what I hate, Robin? And I detest people who are school teachers who help their children with their homework and do it. It's so obvious. Yeah, they get what they deserve when they hit real life, those kids.
Well, part of the reason why I haven't is because I'm not great at homework at the best of times. I am a dyslexic and I do struggle with big chunks of reading. So,
imagine if your parent did the homework and they got everything wrong.
No. So I don't. And my kids know that. And I also firmly believe that if they're struggling with a concept and I help them, then they won't learn it. They need to have the kind of wherewithal to go to their teacher and say, I don't understand. For the first time this week, I had to write an email to my youngest son's humanities teacher, because this is what happened. Now, remember last weekend my eldest son had his 18th birthday party?
Mm-hmm.
Got a bit out of hand.
They were very fun. The boys were having a great time, and the girls, they had an awesome time. Now, it just so happened, we've got a downstairs area where the Xbox is and my kids hang out, and it was also where the majority of the party was. Now, for some unknown reason, my 14-year-old decided to take his humanities workbook into that downstairs area. And he was obviously doing what they normally do, which is have three screens going at one time while pretending to do homework. And that was before the party. And he must have left this humanities booklet down there.
Oh, someone wrote some swear words on it.
Oh, no, far worse. So this was on the Friday. Oh, the Friday night was the party. Come Monday, he was beside himself trying to find it. And we couldn't find it anyway. And then finally I said, mate, could you have possibly left it downstairs? Could it have been thrown out? We went through the bin.
Oh, that's
and
nasty.
Yes, it's been thrown out, but it was covered in alcohol. I would suggest, because there were little bits of carrot on it, it was probably spewed.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God, sweet Jesus.
What? No dog ate it. It got spewed on.
No, it got
people didn't
absolutely
procreate on it, did they?
And I have no idea. There was things on that homework that I just couldn't cope with. Anyway,
God.
At that moment, I felt...
How'd the teacher go with that?
Well, I didn't.
Red lines everywhere.
It was not redeemable. And so for the first time time ever. I actually wrote because he was so upset. And this was a month-long project. Oh. I wrote an email to his teacher and I said, look, I know this is going to sound like the dog ate my homework, but legitimately, this kid has put a lot of effort in and out of his control. I cannot redeem this booklet. So are you okay to give him an extra day, give him another booklet, and then he'll complete it?
Oh,
and all I got back was one line saying, that is doable.
Right.
Oh, that's one for the teacher's book.
I think you've got to get the booklet down to the big breakfast crime lab. Find out exactly what's on that thing.
Would you have done that? Would you have intervened or would you have just let it go?
I would have handed it in and see if the teacher marked that out of 10.
It's a big breakfast on Triple M.
Righto, is everyone happy? Everyone happy with how Sandpaper Gate turned out?
The Sandpaper Three have been brought to justice, finally. I think a year and being sacked as the Australian captain is pretty harsh, but this nation was outraged on Sunday. Let's not forget how hot this was for us all. We were appalled at what had gone on.
But see, now also we've got the villain because everyone was waiting. Like, it was the three of them and no one was particularly sure. This is my take on it anyway from a casual observer.
Yeah.
Is that we were, you know, there were three people named and there was all this speculation about what about Darren Lehman? What about the other players?
The bowlers,
what about the leadership team? All that sort of stuff. And then overnight when it's come out that it was actually David Warner's idea, now he's gone to the forefront. He'll be the villain in all of this. They'll do out their time.
Well, he's always quite
on.
Clearly been the bully boy and everything. When he's on the pitch fielding in close there and sledging away, he's always been the bully. That's why he's batted as well. And that's why Australia's loved him. The only time I've loved him is when he's making really quick, big runs, like when he gets 100 before lunch and just slays. He puts test matches out of doubt before lunch. We will never see him again playing test cricket. We will see Steve Smith, by the sounds of it, playing test cricket again. We won't see him captain. Warner will never captain anything, and I don't reckon he'll play test cricket again. Bancroft, I don't know how tough he is, whether he comes back from his... Was he 9 months? He ended up with 9 months. Whether or not he comes back, if Matt Renshaw starts making runs as of today or tonight in South Africa, that might be the end of Bancroft.
We all knew right from the... Well, I certainly had that gut feeling, and I think that a lot of people surmised that it was Dave Warner's plan and that Steve Smith was just taking a bullet for him.
Well, what did he say across to them? What are you blokes up to? And Dave Warner saying, oh, I've got this sorted.
Yeah, so I don't think it was an actual meeting, even though Steve Smith said that there was a decision made in the dressing rooms. I still think that he's taking a bullet for his teammates. It turns out Steve Smith's biggest problem is his honesty. If he had have said nothing, or if he had have thrown Bancroft under the bus, he'd still be captain of Australia.
I want him to come back and make lots and lots of runs. I don't care if he's not captain. I don't reckon he was a great captain anyway. He was a really quiet, naive guy. Just because he was the best in the world, he became the captain because we weren't very good.
Well, it's going to be a big comeback for him.
Yeah, but see, it's not what happens to you. It's what you deal with it. It's how you deal with it. So let's see over the next month. But you went off with to your smoko shout and you all asked the fellas there, didn't you, about it?
Robin, now I went over to... I only went to West End yesterday. I went to a big site. They were doing... You know, one of our favourite restaurants, the Greek Club. They're doing that up. It's shut down at the moment. Went and saw the boys from Row Rig there. Then I went to this enormous site where the West End markets used to be. They're putting up these 15-storey towers. There'd be 200 fellas working on that site. And when they saw the Triple M truck pull in, they came like flies. And hello to all the Hutchies boys there. And I tell you what, will you have a listen? I have not doctored this up. I just said, do you give a stuff about this whole affair? And it may only be us in the media who care. You listen to some of the replies. Do you care less about the whole affair?
No, it's not.
Because they've spoken too much about it already.
I'll never watch it again, but... Well, they win and bitch about everyone else cheat, and then they go and do this, and what do they get?
No, mate, no.
Not anymore.
No,
yeah, I was just going to say that.
No, I don't reckon they'll get it. It's been happening for years. It's just that they got caught this time.
No!
It's devastating.
Is it devastating?
It's devastating, yes.
Were you still warden?
Yeah, I will.
Nah, mate.
Nah, mate.
Nah, mate.
Nah, couldn't give rats.
It's not cricket. We're the first to jump all over someone when they get caught out cheating. What argument have we got left anymore?
Bit of apathy out there.
Yeah,
I know.
Wow.
There's a lot of no-mates. There's a few of them who went, yeah, we're cheats, etc. But I think they're conditioned by the media, by what not just we say. I don't think we've been the strongest on it. In fact, I haven't at any stage stood out and said it's a disgrace. I've just sat and gone, woo, it's a bit tough. They tampered with a bloody ball.
Yeah.
Imagine if we applied those standards to our politicians. they would all be gone.
There's been a bit of ball tampering going on in Canberra.
Yeah, right.
Some people have actually had to resign their position.
Can we move on, Rob?
Oh, please. Okay, this is my request. I have given you a whole week, whole 4 days of cricket. Can we stop now, please?
Well, what have we missed out on? Is there a bigger news story?
Well,
that
there's
we've
a couple.
Missed?
I can tell you, a self-taught rocket scientist who believes the Earth is flat launched himself into the air and managed to go 350 miles per hour, got up to 1,875 feet before the rocket exploded. He managed to get out though, and then got a parachute to Earth.
You know that the problem there, not what? Enough sandpaper.
Missed that yet?
And
well,
the other
not
one,
rocket science, is it?
Oh. No. Yep. The other one we missed, which I thought you would enjoy, is the 21-year-old journalist who's making headlines in Pakistan by becoming the country's first transgender newsreader.
Oh, excellent work.
Which way? Did he go from a he to she or a she to he?
He to she. Marvia Malik's first on-air appearance has now gone viral across Facebook and Twitter and is a trainee anchor at Lahore-based channel Koroknor News.
It's the gold. This is the gold we've been missing, is it?
They're the things. They're the kind of things that has been going on in the world because we've been so focused on the cricket.
Might go back to the cricket. On Brisbane's Triple M is the big breakfast.
Every space that you look at now in the public world, in the outside world, is just covered with advertising. Just advertising saturation everywhere. And it got to a ridiculous level recently. I was coming through the airport, needed to take a toilet break before jumping in a cab. Went into the toilet and I've never been more saturated by advertising. Looked down into the urinal, the advertising pad, little
in
mat.
In the
urinal has got advertising written on it. So it's like, all right, maybe that helps blokes aim. So, you go, oh,
so
yeah.
You're wee on it?
I'm doing a wee on an ad, yeah.
Oh, that's it's like, weird. It is weird.
It's like a little deodorizer pad.
Oh, a little pad, yeah.
So I look down at that. That's got an ad on it. Then there's a little poster right in front of you on the wall. This might be not a world that you know of, Robin.
No, the world of urinals.
There's an advertising poster right on the wall in front of you that you can't miss, so you're having a read while you're doing a wee. Anyway, there's piped music coming through the speakers. I don't know whether they've got their own radio station at the airport.
Toilet radio.
Toilet radio's got an ad on it. And then there's a Connie machine behind me, a condom machine, and it's got a video screen on it, and it had an ad playing for Banana Boat sunscreen. Oh. And so I finish up and I think, like, how many ads is that? Like, one on the pad, one on the wall in front of me, one coming through, and the Banana Boat ad on the condom machine. And then I was just left with the very disturbing conundrum of, like, who's getting condoms to practice safe sex and thinking, I'm going to get some sunscreen as well.
Plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.